WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Okay, you might want to get out your pens and pencils. Book critic Maureen Carrigan has her list of the best books of the year and holiday recommendations.
The widespread critical verdict on 2004 is that it was a really great year for nonfiction, only a so-so year for fiction. It seems silly to concur, given that this was a year when Tom Wolfe and Colm Tobin each brought out a superb novel. Wolfe's satire of undergraduate life in today's universities, called I Am Charlotte Simmons, and Tobin's smart, spellbinding evocation of the inner life of Henry James, called The Master. But what really makes me think twice about this general judgment on the year in literature is Philip Roth's spectacular novel, The Plot Against America. Set in the 1940s, Roth's book is a dystopian fantasy that imagines the folk hero aviator and fascist sympathizer Charles Lindbergh defeating Franklin Roosevelt in the presidential election of 1940. In accord with Roth's trademark sly style, the narrator here is a young boy named Philip Roth, whose, of course, Jewish family lives in a suburb of Newark, New Jersey. The Newark familiar to Roth fans slowly, believably becomes strange when Lindbergh's administration, under the auspices of the newly formed Office of American Absorption, begins implementing programs designed to assimilate Jews into the Gentile American mainstream. The workings of Roth's political allegory never overwhelm the emotional immediacy of his story, or its you-are-there sense of lived authenticity. Take young Philip's description of Roosevelt's voice on the radio. "We listened on the radio to Roosevelt's speech, delivered with the confidently intoned upper-class enunciation that for close to 8 years now had inspired millions of ordinary families like ours to remain hopeful in the midst of hardship. There was something about the inherent decorum of the delivery that, alien though it was, not only calmed our anxiety, but bestowed on our family a historical significance, authoritatively merging our lives with his, as well as with that of the entire nation, when he addressed us in our living room as his fellow citizens." Yet with all deference to Roth's brilliant achievement here, the nonfiction standouts this year were so collectively startling in the way they revisited and reinvigorated what seemed to be all but exhausted subjects that I can see why in many critics' minds they collectively nudged even the most heavyweight novels to the side, let alone terrific comic novels like Tom Perrotta's send-up of suburban mommy culture, Little Children, and Karen Joy Fowler's romp with literary references, the Jane Austen Book Club. In that happily overcrowded category of great nonfiction, Will in the World by Stephen Greenblatt is my nominee for Book of the Year. It's a biography of the bard like no other, one that attempts to solve the enduring mystery of how Shakespeare, a modestly educated young man from the provinces, became the greatest playwright of all time. Greenblatt's revelatory book pays tribute to the glorious democracy of Shakespeare's art by the openness and easy elegance of his own writing style. Trailing Will in the World by a fairy feather is Kevin Boyle's stunning narrative history, Arc of Justice. The events Boyle recounts were set in motion by the quintessential American dream of home ownership. In 1925, a young black doctor named Ocean Sweet put a down payment on a bungalow in a white section of Detroit. Mob violence erupted after Sweet and his wife moved in, and a white man was killed. In the ensuing nail-biter of a courtroom drama, defense attorney Clarence Darrow astonishingly reframed the case into one in which American racism itself was put on trial. The incendiary topics of race and difference also figure in Clea Kaff's book, The Bone Woman, an admirably restrained account of her recent work as a forensic anthropologist at the sites of genocidal atrocities around the world. Other very honorable mentions in the nonfiction category this year are the biographies Woodhouse by Robert McCrum, Nightingales by Gillian Gill, and The Americanization of Ben Franklin by Gordon S. Wood. Two extraordinary non-sentimental books on friendship were Ann Patchett's Truth and Beauty, a nuanced autobiography of her relationship with the late writer Lucy Greeley, and Rachel Cohen's Informed History of American Literary and Artistic Friendships, A Chance Meeting. Finally, a suggestion for a last-minute stocking stuffer, and make that stocking extra, extra large if you take me up on this hefty tip. The just-published new annotated Sherlock Holmes, edited by respected Sherlock scholar Leslie S. Klinger and introduced by John le Carré, is a two-volume boxed feast for any fans of the greatest detective who ever stalked the earth. Among its other eccentricities, this new edition reassembles the 56 short Holmes stories in their original book publishing order, and includes over 700 illustrations that originally accompanied the stories. For the right reader, the gift of this edition of the Holmes canon would be elementary.
Maureen Carrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. Her best books list is up on our website, freshair.com.